Please do be seated. I did ask Stephanie to move a little further away just in case I expectorate unexpectedly. I've decided I think I should end every sermon with those opening words of the gospel. I still have much more to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. I've had a number of highlights this week. One of which I want to share with you in detail, a bit of an insight in what the incumbent does with all this wonderful time we have in each week. I mean, apart from meetings and sermon prep, worship, prayer, meetings, admin, writing, study, meetings, visits, training our new priest for today, meetings, and did I mention meetings? I also had it was a great joy, and I hope you don't mind me saying it, but to have an unexpected half hour chatting to Terry as he was working incredibly hard in the garden to try and clear the area over near the old guide house. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about was an opportunity I had on Wednesday, which is not something I do that often, probably once or twice in a quarter, but I was the voice of a dragon, answering questions about the Holy Spirit put forward by the children of the cathedral school. I hid away in a corner and added my voice through the wonders of modern technology, i.e. I had a microphone and no one could see me. To be honest, it was a rather ropey Welsh accent I employed for this, to a 3-foot stuffed dragon called Linton, whose head bobs up and down as I make the voice noises off stage somewhere. Why Welsh, you may ask? Well, aren't all dragons Welsh? But don't worry, I'm not going to try and do the accent here. So I get a script, but I have to answer the often deeply spiritual questions that these young people ask. And one of the ones, well, they asked a few that really made me think. One was, how did that flame happen at Pentecost? And I said there were no dragons present. And that it was one of those times, as Stephanie said in our early service last week at Pentecost, it's one of those times when the words that we have aren't really enough to describe what happens. So if we read that Acts that we had last week again, it says, and something like tongues of fire rested on them, and there was a sound like a rushing wind. But the real question that has had me thinking all week is, why can't we see the Holy Spirit? Why can't we see God is an equally valid question, and it's a good one. My response would be, well, we can. We see what she does all the time. Every act of kindness, every work of love, every time we give, every time good happens, the Spirit is right there making herself seen. I could have added, and every moment of wisdom there is reveals the Spirit. But I'd not read this week's thought from the Hebrew scriptures yet, so that didn't pop to the forefront of my mind. And so as we begin our thoughts this Trinity Sunday, also the Sunday where we welcome our beloved colleague and friend John as our presider at this Eucharist for the first time, I want to spend a little time on wisdom. But first I'm going to say why yet again I am not going to dig deep into the doctrine of Trinity on this Sunday, which is the only day of the church's year dedicated to a doctrine. Not a person or an event, but a doctrine. A few years ago, there was a trend of parody Trinity Sunday bingo cards, which made note of all the convoluted and weird words that people use when preaching on Trinity Sunday to try and, well, it's meant to be making clearer the understanding of the Trinity, but it's usually obscuring it. That's what I find anyway. So for anyone who's playing, anyone who's picked up that bingo card off of Facebook again this year, I'm going to say perichoriasis, shamrock, consubstantial, co-eternal, Celtic knot, father, son, spirit, creator, word, spirit, substance, dance, three in one, Augustine, three persons, one God, unity. That should be house. You can stop playing now. I've been interested to read recently in some of the progressive discussion groups that I subscribe to, just how many people find Trinitarian theology unhelpful. A distraction from their heartfelt belief in God as one. Many will describe themselves as functionally Unitarian. I wouldn't go that far. I find the metaphor, the symbol of Trinity, enlivening, inspiring, uplifting. The way of understanding or not understanding the divine in terms of a dynamic, intimate, relational form is something that brings up a feeling of wonder and mystery in me. It stirs up that sense of my unknowing. So in that sense, I'm happy not to be jettisoning Trinity anytime soon. In the long tradition of our faith, rooted in the understandings of our Jewish forebears, there has been rich and varied language about God, which we rarely use in our own gatherings, our liturgy, our prayers, including today's beautiful personification of the Spirit of God as wisdom, such as we heard in those wonderful poetic verses from the book of Proverbs this morning, read by Joel. Wisdom, present with God from the beginning. There, behind and within creation. From our deeply monotheistic forebears, we have these vivid images of a God who is a dynamic wisdom figure in partnership with a dynamic wisdom figure. Often, wisdom, or in Greek, Sophia, is taken to be an expression of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, by later Christian thinkers. That's actually not the purpose of the text we heard this morning, which places wisdom within the created order. But that is an interpretation. The Sophia understanding is one which many have held over the centuries, and clearly it's an interpretation held in mind by those who compiled our three-year lectionary of readings, as they've offered it to us as part of our musings of Trinity this week. The figure of wisdom is also important in that she is clearly she, a feminine counterpoint to the often wholly masculine ways to which God is referred in patriarchal thinking and language. Our gender-bending and beyond-gender God, our God who is mystery and at the same time purveyor of all wisdom. And wisdom is the root of my thinking today. By which I mean wisdom is what I want us to think about, not that I'm claiming wisdom on my part. One of the things that struck me about my school experience this week was that the children were much more, it felt, concerned with acquiring wisdom than they were getting crammed full of knowledge and facts. It's refreshing when educators encourage the accrual of wisdom and discernment rather than just the knowledge necessary to pass tests. In a world which is flooded with information and cat videos, there is often very little wisdom to be found in our new connected age, or at least wisdom takes some looking for. And here is where I wish to take a left turn and talk a little about our newly ordained brother, the Reverend Dr. John Thetamanil. Now he is a priest, we will not start calling him Father, particularly as our bishop has asked us not to use gendered honorifics, as she called them. So if you must, please call John non-gender specific parent figure John. But I digress. John comes to us as an educator, a man steeped in facts and information and learning. But for those who've been blessed, many of us have been blessed in getting to know him better, he comes steeped also in wisdom. His humility won't allow him to claim it for himself, though. But we know that he's not just clever, but wise, and along with that, compassionate, caring, prayerful, playful, considerate, approachable, funny, and, as I said at the ordinations last week, wicked good at karaoke. As he will be serving as our priest, both here and in the coming weeks, and physically here and remotely when he goes back to New York to teach, I celebrate the fact that we have a new, wise colleague who so freely offers his gifts to us in community. We celebrate John's next phase of ministry here today, which he is generously inviting us to be a part of, and are grateful for his wisdom and his discernment. Which leads me back to the Sunday readings. I'm not going to go through all the readings in depth, you'll be glad to know, and certainly I'm not going to be diving deeply into the passage of the epistle to the Romans, as Sermon Circle did earlier this week, so I hear, or into the Gospel of John. I just want to come back a little to this theme of Trinity in the broader sense and this link to wisdom. The doctrine, the understanding of Trinity, the metaphor of Trinity is not meant to answer our questions about God. It's not concerned with knowledge and fact, with literal understanding of the nature and being of God. Though much ink and indeed blood has been spilled in the working out of the minutiae of the doctrine of Trinity, such a narrow definition does not serve well in growing our wisdom or faith. Faith is not grown through verifiability, but through mystery, through recognizing our own lack of understanding and our own inability as finite beings to grasp the infinite. The opposite, as one person wrote, of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. In this, Trinity allows us to be deeply uncertain about the ultimate nature of God, whilst allowing us to explore and enter into those things which we can grasp about the divine. Take that epistle to the Romans. There's just one line that I hold on to from that rather bemusing passage that we heard today, and that is that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This relationship with the divine to which we are called is grounded in this gift of love. This love is not just offered, but poured, just as Trinity reminds us that the basis of love is the basis of the divine, as God lives in loving relationship through and from eternity. And lastly, our gospel is one of those wonderfully convoluted Johannine passages. But it's one which bases all of our knowing, all of what we live as Christian people, in the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who guides us into truth. Truth not as verifiable statements of facts, but truth as relationship, as wisdom with one another and a relationship with the divine. Truth as revealed to us in relationship, as discerned in relationship, as expressed in relationship. This wrestling with, this exploring, this engaging with the truth and the grace and the love of God is the heart of all we do in community. It's the heart of the priestly ministry that John shares in community. It's the heart of our longings and our searchings, our understandings, and are not understanding. May we together continue this adventure of faith in our community. And to God, who is ever creator, word, and life-giving spirit, this God three in one, to whom all power, might, mystery, and majesty belong, to God be glory in our lives and in the church. Amen.